जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत दिस मॉर्निंग मध्य लीला चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 215 and the chapter is entitled The Lord Instructs Sri Rupa Goswami. Because there's no purport, we'll also study 216 as well. Swaga Moksha Krishna Bhakta Naraka Kari Muni. I'll just chant a moment. Krishna Nishta Tristam Sante Du Guni. Translation. When a devotee is situated on the platform of Santa Rasa, he desires neither elevation to the heavenly planets nor liberation. These are the results of karma and jnana, and the devotee considers them no better than hell. A person situated on the Santa Rasa platform manifests two transcendental qualities of detachment from all material desires and full attachment to Krishna. Okay, text 216. Narayana Parasarve. Narayana Parasarve. Nakushchanna Biyati. Nakusta. Nakushchana biyate Svarga pavarga narakesh Svarga parvarga narakesh Apituliata dashina Apituliata dashina Narayana paraha. Persons who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarve. All. Na. Not. Kutaschana. From any quarter. Bibhyate. Afraid. Svarga. In the heavenly planets. Apavarga. In liberation. Narakeshu, or in hell. Api, although. Tulyartha, results as equal. Dashina, who sees. Translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. A person who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is not afraid of anything. Elevation to the heavenly kingdom, condemnation to hell and liberation from the material bondage all appear the same to a devotee. Purport. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text 28. Elevation to the heavenly planets, liberation from the material bondage and condemnation to hell are all equal to the devotee. The devotee's only desire to be attached to the lotus feet of Krishna and to engage in transcendental loving service. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I thank the devotees here for giving me the opportunity to say a few words. Vanchakalpatrubhishya kripa sindubhyai vacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So here Lord Chaitanya is instructing Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya generally had three classes of devotees that used to associate with him. One was where he would perform the Nam Sankirtan with the Panchatattva. They would go and chant the holy names. The other was the confidential associates of Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damada, Ramananda Roy, and they would discuss different intimate pastimes of Krishna, particular Radha and Krishna. And the other associates were the Goswamis. And the Goswamis, Haribol, can you hear? The Goswamis was how Lord Chaitanya instructed the teachings of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya himself left only 8 verses of Shishastikam, as we all know. But mainly his disciples are the ones who wrote the teachings of Krishna consciousness. And here at this particular point in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Rupa Goswami about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And later on, we'll see these teachings manifest in a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So here, in this particular part of the discussion, Lord Chaitanya is discussing the different relationships or the rasas that Krishna has with his devotees. Life is fundamentally based on rasa. We all have different types of rasas, relationship. If we didn't have relationship, life would be very, very dry, would be very, very lonely. We have different types of rasas. And the general 5 categories of rasas that Krishna has is Santaras, Dasya, Sakya, Vasalya, and Madhurya. So in these different rasas, Krishna manifests his relationship with the devotees in different ways. Now it is explained that in Santa Rasa, which is this particular point where Lord Chaitanya is talking about, that is a neutral stage. That is the stage when the devotee generally is attached to Krishna, but there's no friendship. It's mainly kind of awe and reverence. And it's explained that in this particular relationship, it is generally an impersonal relationship or the localized Paramatma. So those who are on the Santa, those who meditate in the mountains, that's why they disappear into the mountains. They don't want to be connected to the world. They don't want the world. They wash their hands of the world. They just forget everything. And they go into the mountains, in the Himalayas, in the forest, wherever. Then they find a secluded spot. And then they just meditate and they try to find that form of Paramatma inside their heart. And the impersonalists, we all know the impersonalists are very dry, philosophical, they generally have no relationship, they kind of just study, or they're quite dry. So that's just the Santa Rasa. Then the Dasya, he has a little bit more relationship towards Krishna. So Dasya, those are the servants of Krishna. And generally the Vaikuntha planets, they're in that kind of a relationship with awe and reverence. Those who want to serve the Lord in the Aishwarya Bhagavan form, the manifestation of the four-armed form of Lord, and the Vaikuntha planets, that's where the Dasya relationship is. Then it is explained, then above that is the Sakya relationship. And that's a little bit more intimate. With the awe and reverence is a master and disciple, or it's the master and the servant relationship. So you're always like, you know, making sure the master is served, the master is looked after, you never breach any etiquette. But when you go into the friendship relationship, then the boundaries of relationship change. And here it is explained, intimacy is involved with the relationship with Lord. And the many, many devotees, we all know, obviously the gopas, we have a very nice picture over there. So they play with Krishna. And in a friendship situation, you can treat Krishna as a friend, you can wrestle with him, you can play with him. And sometimes it is explained that when Krishna used to play with the coward boys, they would play a game. And sometimes when Krishna would lose, the idea is that you'd carry the winning opponent on your shoulder. I don't know if you ever played this game or something like that. When you wrestle, then if you've the victorious, then you have to carry the person. So then Krishna, sometimes he would lose. So in a Sakya relationship, it's okay. Krishna's happy to carry Sudama on his shoulder. Krishna's happy to carry Madhu Mangal. Or Krishna's happy if Madhu Mangal steals his sweet and Krishna's looking, where is my laddu gone? So that is a Sakya relationship, a bit more intimate. Or Arjuna is also explained, is a very, very close, intimate relationship of Krishna. Then, the next relationship we have is the Vatsalya. And that is even more intimate, because that general relationship, you take one of a parent or an uncle or someone a little bit so-called superior to Krishna, and in that situation you worry about Krishna. You make sure Krishna is okay, he's well looked after. Like Mother Yashoda, her constant anxiety is to always make sure that Krishna is well looked after, that he's well dressed, that he's well fed. She's always in anxiety. When the boys complain that Krishna's eaten mud, Krishna wants to check the mouth. What's going on inside there? Is it true what Balaram is saying? You've been chewing mud. We got plenty of nice food over here. Same with Nimai. When Nimai was eating dirt, then Mother Sachi was very, very concerned. So this is the relationship of a parent. And then ultimately the highest is the Madhurya, the conjugal love. So that relationship that one has with one's partner or one's wife, it's a very, very intimate, and it's quite a powerful emotion. And this powerful emotion attracts two people together, and then for some reason, because of that attraction, they want to spend the rest of their life with them. Isn't it? So that's the power of that particular relationship. It's a very, very powerful relationship that you feel that you want to have that relationship with that particular person. So today we'll discuss a little bit about the Santa relationship. So the Santa relationship, it is explained that in that kind of a situation, the person, he is devoid of all material desires or material attachment, but his attachment is towards Krishna. Of course, for devotees, we don't just want to be in Santa Rasa, as explained over here, the verse that we're studying. We want to be in a situation where we are 100% attached to Krishna, and whatever we do, We want to be in the position of always being able to serve Krishna, no matter what kind of situation we're in. Once there was a sage, and he was walking, and he saw a prince. And when he saw this prince, he gave him ashirvad. You know ashirvad? Blessings. And he gave blessings to this prince, and he said, Jivova, may you live forever. Then he carried on walking. Then after giving blessings to the prince, then he saw a butcher. And then after seeing the butcher, he also gave a blessing to the butcher. And he said, Na jivo, na maro. You don't live or you don't die. That was the blessing he gave to the butcher. Then, as he carried on, then he saw a brahmachari. Then after seeing the brahmachari, he also gave him ashirvad and blessing. He said, Marova, you die immediately. And then afterwards, he saw a devotee, a servant of Krishna. And he said, by giving blessings, Na jivo, na marova. So what is the hidden message in the blessings that the sage was giving to these different persons? To the prince, he said, you live forever. Why? Because the prince is accustomed to enjoying nice life, royal life, treated very nicely, wearing nice silken garments, many, many servants. So he lives in luxury. However, as we all know, everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So as much as that prince is enjoying, at a certain point in his life, it will come to an end. One who is a king one day might become a pauper. So the blessing was that you live forever in this illusion of yours. Then he met a butcher. And the butcher, he said, you don't live, you don't die. What difference does it make? Because the life you're living here as a butcher is hellish. Isn't it? Sometimes when I used to do Sankirtan, although it's not the best mood of a devotee, when I used to do shop to shop, when you come to a butcher shop, for some reason I just couldn't conjure up myself to go inside there. It's such a hellish situation going there and seeing that ghastly scene, and sometimes in fact your stomach would churn. I don't know if you've had that experience. It's not the most nicest sight to see, the butcher's place. And when I used to preach in China, well, that's another whole story altogether. There they just whoosh, just do it right in front of your eyes. So it's not a nice situation. So he knew that that position he's in is already hellish, and when he dies he's going to be in a hellish situation. So what a situation to be. So he's not in a very, very nice situation. Then he met a brahmachari, and he said to the brahmachari, Marova, die immediately. And why? Because the brahmachari is accustomed to performing severe austerities, getting up early, either in the summer or in the winter, performing his puja, his tapa, his austerities, and in this way, serving his spiritual master. And the sage could see that he had come to a certain point in his level that it's no point for him to perform all these austerities. Better he dies and goes to Vaikuntha. And then he met the devotee, Na jivo, na marova. And what was that? It doesn't matter whether you live or you die, because wherever you are, you will be happy as long as you have Krishna. So that is the situation of a devotee, whether he's in Vaikuntha, whether he's in earthly planet, whether he's in the hellish planet, it does not make any difference. Of course, it's quite a tall order. It's easier for us to just like say these words. It's easier for us to just, you know, talk about it. But to try and be in that situation, whereby We're happy whatever Krishna gives us, whatever situation we're in, and to depend 100% on Krishna is the point in our life what we're trying to achieve and get to. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. But if we try with all sincerity, then we can come to that platform of becoming attached to Krishna and seeing whatever situation one is in, that Krishna always manifests wherever he may be, or wherever we may be rather. So that is the type of platform that we're trying to achieve. And then the best way to try and achieve that situation is to try and detach our material situation and attach ourselves to Krishna's situation. Because material attachment, as explained here, in this, just that's the Santa Rasa, that those material attachments that the devotee is trying to relinquish are the basis of our shackle in this material world. This attachment, they draw us or keep us in this material world. An attachment is such that it actually is such a powerful attachment, it is not very, very easy to give up. That's why it's called an attachment, because it attaches you. So once there was this king, and this king, he had three wives. Most of us struggle with one wife, but this king was taking his luck, and he had three wives. So the first wife he had, he was very, very attached to this wife. He was very, very intimate, and whatever this wife wanted, he would give her. If she wanted a new sari, he would give. Whatever she wanted, she was completely pampered and looked after. And in this way, this king's life's obsession was to always try and satisfy his first queen. The second queen he had, he was reasonably attached to her. He also liked her. But, you know, he was happy to just keep her. Whenever he felt the need, he would use his second wife. The first one was his prime connection, and the second one, whenever he felt the need, then he would give a little attention. Then he had a third wife. Unfortunately, he neglected her. She had a lot of holes in her saris and things like that. He would never look after her, buy her anything nice. She actually wasn't looked after very nicely, and he just very rarely thought. In fact, he hardly even knew that she existed, unless the minister said, "Hey, what about that one over there?" He said, "Oh, forget that one there." So that one he neglected. So inevitably, this king, as we explained the story of the sage, that when you're in that position, life, karma, time, color catches up on you, and then death meets you, is inevitable. So the king, one day he woke up, his teeth were rattling, his hair was falling off, his hand was shaking. Those are the signs of death knocking on your door. So he realized death was coming. And of course he was very attached to his wives. So then he went to his first wife and he said, "Very soon I will be dying. However, I don't want to go to the next world without you. I've spent 99% of my life looking after you. Will you come to me in my next life? Will you journey with me into my next life?" And the wife said, the first wife said, "No way, Jose. When you die, that's it. It's over between me and you. It's all finished." The king was really shocked. He couldn't believe his eyes. So much time and energy was spent in looking after his wife. By the time of his death, she was ready to just wipe him off, ready to just forget him. He was a little bit disturbed. But what can he do? So then he went to his second wife and he says, "Will you come to me? Will you enter my next life? Will you accompany me?" And his second wife said, "I don't want to really come with you. However, I'll crack a deal with you. What I'll do is that when you go to the crematorium, when you die and burn ashes to ashes, I'll come to that point. After that, you're on your own." Then he went to his second wife and he was a little bit, "Oh God, almost forgot about this one here." Anyway, so he said, "Oh, better go and see if she'll come." And he was obviously thinking that this one is not going to come because, you know, having been neglected most of her life, having even not even glanced at her, he knew the answer was going to be no. Anyway, he conjured up and he said, "Look, will you come with me?" And surprisingly, the wife said, "Yes." The third one said, "Yes, I'll come with you." King was really surprised. Then he realized who his true friend was. So even though he spent all his time and energy in the first one, didn't want to know. The second one, "I'll come to your funeral. After that, it's all over." The third one said, "I'll come to you." So then eventually, obviously, the king died, and this is what happened. So the first queen is considered your body. We put so much time, so much attention to our body, but at the time of death, even though we want our body, it is snatched away from us. It is taken away from us. So we cannot take the body. Once we die, the body doesn't want us. The second wife is considered wealth. Is our wealth. We attach to it, we like it, we keep it there. But as soon as we burn ashes to ashes, dust to dust, our wealth gets distributed to others. Maybe to our children, maybe people will fight for the estate. We have big laws, all sorts of people fighting for the wealth of the kings. People kill each other, all sorts of things. History is filled with books and books of people fighting for the wealth of the king. And the third wife is the super soul, the Paramatma. So in this way, my most important time is the time I spend with you. I look forward to the moment that I get a chance to be with you. And sometimes when we perform service day after day after day, you know, sometimes we get a little bit complacent, including myself. It's very, very easy. It's very easy to just go on automatic pilot. It's very, very easy just to just put on your tilak, put on your clothes, rush to Mangalati. Sometimes it's important to stop and think if you're actually making some attachment towards Krishna. The day that sun sets, the next day, are we becoming a bit closer towards Krishna? Have we gone a little bit out of our way to serve Krishna? I was listening to one lecture where Srila Prabhupada was talking about bandhu, about being a friend with Krishna. We all want to somehow or another be with Krishna. And then Prabhupada was explaining that if you want Krishna to be your friend, if you want Krishna to be your bandhu, then when you finish your 16 rounds, you don't stop there. You carry on. And then after you carry on your 16 rounds, Prabhupada was explaining this in the lecture, then at that point, Krishna sees that you're going that extra mile, then that's when he starts to notice you. When we just have our prescribed duties, that's fine, we have to do that. But when Krishna sees we go beyond and above that, that's when Krishna will notice us. So obviously I don't have to tell you, you're all very, very advanced devotees, but it's always good to remind us again and again and again. So time is up. I have to stop here. Thank you very much. If there's anyone who got any questions or queries, comments or anything. Thank you very much. Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.